You know, God can meet our every need, no matter where we're at and what we're doing. God can do it all. Do we have a cordless mic? A handheld? Oh, I thought you did. Okay, never mind. That's all right. I went to Knoxville, Tennessee this week. And I went out this weekend to sing. I left Saturday morning. And I got down to Knoxville, and I went by, and I was supposed to be singing Sunday morning, and at a church out. It's called Dandridge. It's about 15 miles out up north of Knoxville. And there was a missionary guy there from India, the one that interpreted for me, and Brother Jim Angle, and everybody that spoke there. A precious man of God, a highly anointed man of God. And I just think it's a privilege to do the work of God. It's not a hard thing. Sometimes it gets hard, but guess what? God gives peace. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't trade it for nothing. I just work just to make a little extra money. You want to know what I do for a living? You're looking at it right now. I worship the King of Kings. Drove all the way out to Knoxville to play for a man that can half speak English. And Lord, did God move in that place. And I thank God. People walking up as we was doing worship. And I was fighting hell and high waters when I was out there. Sometimes when you do stuff, it ain't quite easy. But like I said, God gives a peace. But I was at my house a while ago, and I pulled out my MP3 player. Sometimes I record the services when the battery's not dead. And I think the battery's dead. But I was listening to my services a while ago, and I didn't think in Knoxville that I really accomplished anything. When I got up on the piano, I sat down and I didn't want to play. I wanted to go home. I wanted to be at my own church. I was missing the people at my church. But when I didn't listen to the service until today. I just turned it on just to hear it. And when I played it, my Lord, I about got blown away by the anointing that was flowing. Singing a song that's in a different language. I didn't realize that that song was moving in that much anointing. And I didn't realize that the word that was being preached was moving. And I just sat and I cried and wept before God. What are you trying to say? Sometimes you really don't understand what an impact you make until later on. And I want you to understand that. And tonight, before I even get, and I'm going to get down to where I can preach here in a little bit, but I just feel His presence. Raise your hand if you felt His presence tonight. I have literally felt God. I've touched His face today. I told God, I said, God, every time I've come out to this place, every time I've walked in and I've sat on this piano, I've had to fight hell and high waters. And I said, God, I'm not doing it no more. I have authority in me. I have authority in me, and I'm not going to fight it anymore. I said, God, now I'm just asking you to make your way on up to that church in Willis and walk through the pews and walk through the people and walk down the aisles, God, and root out even any evil spirit that walks into that place and tries to oppress and stop the word of God and the music of God from being flowed. I've never felt His presence in this place like I have tonight. You can't tell me God ain't real. You can't tell me God's not doing anything. I've seen God touch too many people. I've seen God move in so many areas and so many avenues. I'm not going to doubt Him now. Hallelujah. I want everybody to look at me in this place. I'm going to quote one scripture, a verse. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I want you to say that with me. Create, repeat after me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now, can we do it one more time? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Lord, I said, renew a right spirit within me. Now I'm going to ask you, as I'm preaching the Word of God, be totally respectful of the Word of God. No talking, no playing around. I will call you down and I will make you go outside. I'm not here to play. I'm here to have church. How many love Him? I love you guys. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 10. When I was in India, I flew thousands, literally tens and thousands of miles to go all the way across the world to minister the gospel. I sit in airports and was completely wore out. I ate food. I did not have any iota what it was. But I was happy to be in the Great Commission to see souls saved. When I was in India, 33,000 Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, every kind of religion. I think they have 30-some thousand religions over there in that country. 30-some thousand gods, excuse me, idols. Stuff that make no sense. Just stone gods. I'd seen them. They'd have them as tall as this building and as big as this building. And they would walk by at certain times every day and worship them things. Some of them, Clifford, you'd have to go in and pay. I thank God I don't have to pay to see my God. But why did you do that? Why don't you stay home and preach to these people here in America? Guess what? I do that at least 11 months out of a year. I go over there at least 1 month out of the year or go somewhere and see people saved. I like to go everywhere. I'm like, send me, send me, send me, God. I preach on the school bus, in the classroom, the bathroom, wherever He wants me to preach. And we're going to talk tonight about a man named Peter. And we're going to talk tonight about a man named Cornelius, where God birthed the church so that you and I can walk right into His presence. And you and I can walk right into His glory. And you and I can serve Him. And you and I can have the privilege to carry out His word. There was a man in the first chapter of Acts 10. His name was Cornelius. And the Bible spoke about him and told about him being a great man of God. He prayed for the poor and he prayed for all kinds of people. And I'm just paraphrasing here. And God sees when we do good stuff. God understands when we make the effort to step out and say, God, I want to be different. God, I want to be different. And God understands and He sees that. So, an angel came to Cornelius and says that God has seen your good works. God has seen your crying out to God. God has seen you laboring before me. And we want to bless you. We're going to do something. I want you to send three men to a city named Joppa. J-O-P-P-A. The angel told Cornelius to send three of his men, one, two, three, to a city called Joppa. And there's a man there. His name is Simon, which is called Peter. Or who is also called Peter. And I want you to send these men and go find him and told him where he was at. He said he was at the Simon Tanner's house. Simon the Tanner's house over by the sea. So Cornelius sent those men. And while they were on their way, it goes on to speak about Peter. It talks about how Peter was hungry. Now Peter's just a man, and believe you me, I love to eat. And you know, I like what God says in this verse, and if we'll read the Bible spiritually and not physically, we'll understand it. That's how you understand the Word of God, is read it spiritually and not physically. When you get to open your Bible, say, God, help me understand this spiritually in my spirit, because this brain cannot ever contain the glory of God. And I opened the Bible, and it was talking about how Peter went on the rooftop. He was hungry. So while the food was being prepared, he went on the rooftop to pray. Isn't it amazing how sometimes when we have the time and God gives us an avenue, we can take that time to pray? It is very important to seek and pray after God. I was talking to the missionary that came from India. I brought him all the way from Knoxville back to Christiansburg, and he rode in my car. And he told me every morning at 5 o'clock he gets up and prays. Every morning. The whole family does. It's a house in order thing. You do it. No exceptions. They don't argue with their parents. The parents don't argue with the kids. The grandma don't argue with the mom and the daddy. The mom and daddy. Nobody argues at 5 o'clock prayer time. And then all out through the day, each individual family member has set prayer times. And they pray. He told me his wife, sometimes he'll wake up in the middle of the night and his wife is praying at the edge of the bed. He said that's how God fuels his ministry, is prayer. Peter is on the rooftop praying. He's hungry. He figures out, hey, I'm going to take time and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to go talk to God. I've got me some time here. I'm going to make some time. We need to learn how to make time. We need to learn how to make time for God. Now, why did he go on the rooftop? Back then, the rooftops are not like this church building where it's arched. I've been overseas. I've seen them. It's more like a balcony. They're flat, and the way they're built out of concrete, they got like a little railing around them. And it's a good, peaceful place to go. I've been on many of them. And so Peter's up there while he's hungry, and he's seeking after God. And while he's seeking after God, he goes into a trance or a vision. And he looks up and the heavens open up. And as the heavens open up, there descends a sheet. It's knitted on the four corners, the Bible says. And Peter looks at it. It's kind of awkward. It's got all kinds of four-footed animals and beasts and flying things of the air. It's got all kinds of contraptions in. Now remember, God will relate stuff to us in our time of need. He said, Peter, kill and eat. Now Peter's done hungry. He took time to go up and seek after God. And now God lets down this vision of a sheet with all these kinds of animals on it. Now if I seen that, I would be like, whoa, wait a minute, God. What in the world is this? Now I've seen some crazy stuff in my time. And I haven't been here long, and I plan to be here long. But I've seen some crazy stuff, especially working for the school system. There is no telling what kids will do. I'm amazed every day. And so Peter sees this sheet descending down. It's got all these animals on it, and God spoke to him and said, kill and eat. Now God's trying to relate something to Peter because he's hungry, trying to get him to understand stuff. Peter's not perfect. Peter can't understand everything. But God can put it down into simple words and like, duh, here, Peter, listen. So Peter looked at all those animals, and it's not a tradition for people like that back in those days to eat meat and stuff like that. Peter looks at that, and he looks at God, and he said, God, I can't eat that. That's unclean. It's not common for me to eat that. And you know what? I like what the Bible says, and the King James Version just worded it the best. And verse 11, and I'm just going to give you some scripture what I've got. And it says, and now, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descended unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. But Peter said, not so. And in this Bible, not is capitalized. So Peter is, he's saying, God, this is crazy. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common. Peter said, God, I've never done anything that's common or eaten any of this stuff that's unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, thou that call not thou common. This was done thrice, which means God had to tell Peter three times. What God has cleansed, thou call not thou common. This was done three times, and the vessel was received up. And I'm going to read this verse again. And verse 15 says, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And God revealed something else to me. And I want you to understand this. Make time. Make time to seek after God. You want to be something in life. You want to accomplish something. You may not think you're anything. You may not think I can do nothing. My family's tore all apart. My life's a wreck. My mama's overseas. My dad's somewhere at the bar drinking. My sister's sleeping around. I've slept around. I've got six kids. Whatever the case may be, you make time for God, and He's going to do something dramatically in your life. But I like what God said here. He said, Peter, what I've cleansed, don't you dare call it common. You may think it's a common thing for you to stay in your situation. God goes on later on in the verses, and you'll hear Him say, it just rung my bell. I said, thank you, God. He says, Peter, I'm not a common God. I don't like common things. I like to step out of the box. Somebody say, I'm stepping out of the box. Come on, say it one more time. Come on, teenagers, I know. I'm stepping out of the box. Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to be common. I refuse. I have not been common all my life. I walk right up in the middle of the devil's presence and tell him, hey, Budro, you messing with the wrong cat. It's not happening. I told him tonight, he's not taking over the service. He absolutely not. It's not happening. See, it would be common for the devil to just take and rule however he wants to, Clifford. But you know what? I've seen God do some things that's just out of the box. It's not common. Josiah, a good friend of mine, he travels with Clifford and Ann. It was common for Josiah to be locked up in witchcraft and drugs and everything. But God said, wait a minute. I don't like common things. I'm going to save this vessel. God spoke to me when he walked into the church one night and says, I want you to use that boy in ministry. I said, God, you crazy. I'm not going to use that boy. Josiah said he didn't like me. He wanted to kill me, and I believe him. But then I had God on the other hand saying, I don't want this common person that's locked up in witchcraft and drugs and alcohol. I want him. I want you to use him in ministry. Take him out on the road. Let him carry a pen or something. And you know, he's one of the most faithful men of God, and Clifford Nan can vouch for me. One of the most faithful men of God I've ever been around. God don't like for you to be in your common area. You know, it might be common for you to get out of school. It might be even common for you to not even finish school and go out and not even accomplish anything in life. You know, it may even be common for you to get a college degree and get a master's and your bachelor's degree and still walk out into the world and be miserable. But you know what? I don't have a college degree. Really don't care to have one. Don't bother me. But I want to serve God with everything that's within me. You know, if you want a college degree, it's wonderful. People respect you for that. It's a good thing to have. I'm not preaching against it. But God's impressed in me something different than He's impressed in somebody else. I want Him. I want everything He's got. I'm not going to back down from it. I said, God, don't make me a common vessel. I want to be used by you. I'm not going to take this sorry stuff. I don't want this stuff to the side, Clifford. I want to be uncommon. I want to be an anointed vessel. I want to be a vessel, God, that's used by you. God, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for you. So, God, I'm going to make time as Peter did, and I'm going to crawl up in the rooftop and pray. I'm going to get in my closet and pray. I'm going to read my Bible and pray. I'm going to go wherever it takes, God. If I have to stop on the side of the road while I'm driving and pray. Yes, I've been in the school bus and just pulled it off on the side of the road when there wasn't no kids there. Walk back through the aisles of that school bus and anoint every seat on that bus and pray that God save every child on that bus. When you get on the bus, you have no idea what you're walking into. Have absolutely no idea. Oh, I feel Jesus. You've done walked into the presence of God. Walk into the classroom. Why do you work at the school? Because I see it a mission field. There's kids that are desperate and dying and going to hell, but God said it's not common. I don't want common things around here. I'm ready to see a radical move of God. Walk in the classroom and touch the door handle and say, God, every kid that walks in this room, convict them, save them. I was in a youth group one time. I was playing praise and worship. I stopped and got off the road for about 2 years. and worked in a youth group. When we got there, there was 4 teenagers. When we left, there was 60 on Wednesday nights. When we would go outside or downstairs or wherever we went to have our church service, there would be nobody left in the church.